Hello and welcome to episode 262 of Life Song Radio. My name is Blake Shankle. Along with me is
Bill Ramsey
and Mike Wells.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's going on, brother?
Man,
it's been a good week.
It is. It's been good. How about you?
It's been good. Tiring.
Yeah.
That was a question mark. It's been good.
Yeah.
Well. When you end good with a question mark, there's some more to it.
You know, and I got to thinking,
I'm doing okay.
As we figured, what's going on this week? Because, you know, we record this right before the weekend, but, you know, Valentine's is coming up, and I haven't done anything yet. So hopefully I'll get that together before, because my wife will be expecting something.
Are you like most guys? And most guys, I mean me.
Stop at Kroger.
rush to the store. Like, several weeks ago, I thought about this. Like, I might as well go ahead and buy my car now. Just be perfect. Get the car and get it all done. And then I just procrastinated. And
yeah, so I'm not the guy that's going to waste money on the card and the flower. Because, like, the flower's going to die. And the card's going to either get stuffed in a drawer or eventually going to get thrown away.
Yeah.
So
you're thinking like a man, though. A woman appreciates that.
So my wife will say, well, you know, I like things like, you know, we're doing the house, we're doing the home remodel right now. That's obviously, I think that's Christmas, anniversary, Valentine's, maybe next year's Christmas. I think all that's bundled together. But then, of course, if nothing happens on Valentine's Day, what, did you forget what today is?
Hmm. Yeah, it didn't work that way, Mike. No. So you better get
something.
Yeah.
You know, the best Valentine's gift, I think, a man could get a woman?
The gospel.
Now, a family portrait.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
from Theo Ramsey.
Know anybody?
I'm funny, but I'm actually kind of for real. You know why? It takes thought.
Yeah,
it takes planning. That's thought, and that happens every year. We have people do that for Mother's Day and Valentine's Day, and it usually goes over pretty good.
It is a really good gift, but as they're hearing this right now, Valentine's Day is over with. So guys, don't get any ideas, okay?
Just purchase the next gift card for Phil Ramsey.
Yeah, next year maybe.
Valentine's Day. It's coming gone, but we don't. You know, it's another. Well, I don't want to say it's another day. I will get in trouble on that one. But I do love my bride. I love her more I love her more than just on Valentine's Day. That's for sure. So
we do.
Well, that's good.
Well, our listeners will also notice this week that we are without old handsome Jimmy Hicks again.
Yeah, he had the flu last week, and his schedule's a little jacked up this week. So
yes, but he's recovered.
Well, good.
A lot of people
have
the flu.
Is he doing good?
Yeah, he's doing good. Now I'm on his mic and gonna get all his germs.
You got the good mic.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, when
you do.
Jimmy's
Mike's
gone,
got the good mic.
Yeah, Mike gets to move to the center of the table.
Yeah,
and he's beside the mixer. He's got the good mic with a good mic arm.
And I guess I'm doing something right because, guys, next week I'll be upgrading to a new arm that's broken. This one is
for our listeners. Hold that up, Mike. Show our listeners.
Our YouTube audience. Blake's an engineer, so. The arm broke. Within 8 seconds, he was over here whittling wood and created something out of wood that would take a machinist 3 years to make.
Yeah. It worked until someone leaned on it again. Yeah. So, we ordered a new one, you know, but you'll have a new arm and we'll be set. But, yeah, man, we're it's great to be back in this word again, this Romans. We're not moving very fast. We've come to a snail's pace, guys.
It is, but I think we've all been encouraged this week. There's been many that have been paying attention, watching along as we've gone through this particular study and have reached out. I mean, it's been great to be encouraged by those that are listening to us, and it's making an impact. I mean, we're just studying verse by verse, and this wasn't something that we sought out to target or to bring about and cause any type of arguments, but we're going by the Word, and doing these Word studies has been great for those that have been listening. But
yeah, it's a big text today. I mean, we're in still 28, 29, and 30, and we talked last week. Really, this we can title this. I think Phil on our YouTube page titled this the second link of, or the our last show was the second link of God's golden chain, and today we're going to get to the third link of God's golden chain, and we're going to continue with that theme and that wording
kind of,
there.
Can you kind of refresh what that exactly is?
Yeah, God's golden chain of salvation. Really, we talked about it a little bit and. Is the Ordo Salutis, if you will, Ordo Salutis. I get it right here in a second.
That means Order of Salvation for us, Tippin County folks.
Hey, speaking. Well, what are you
that's speaking?
Latin, by the way.
Well, yeah, because for those who don't speak Latin, it's just the Order of Salvation. Okay. Blake's like using these big words.
Well, we have to be a little bit of learning here, Phil. And, But no, the order of salvation, or God's golden chain of salvation, is kind of what we've been referring it to. But that's where we find ourselves today. And in the last few weeks, we've gone over foreknowledge, how God has it's not foresight. We talked about that it's not mere just looking down the tunnels of time. Foreknowledge means that those whom God previously chose to love with a distinguishing saving love, and He knew that before the beginning of time, before the foundations of the world. And it's it's synonymous with the doctrine of election, if you will, if you've heard those terms. But then last week we really focused upon predestination, a wonderful word, predetermined. Is you can say it there, but the Bible says predestination, and it simply means this, that the destination is determined before the journey begins. That's the right. Horizon, it's been set out. And so pro-orizo is the Greek there. So God, He's marked out upon the horizon the salvation for those whom that He foreknew. So we see in these things how they're working together. And so that's the two links that we've come to. So we come to the third link in the God's golden chain of salvation, as you will, and we're just reading through the scripture here in verses 28, 29, and 30, but we come to this word calling. That's where we find ourselves today. What we've seen so far, guys, with foreknowledge and predestination, the doctrine of election, is that the Father and the Son, they're united in their work for the salvation of those who believe. And so the Father, we've seen this, He's electing and He's sending His Son into the world, the Son atoning for the sins of those chosen and given to the Father, given to Him by the Father. And then the same harmony exists between the Son and the Spirit. So here's what we get to is Jesus did not die for the sins of all people. And we've talked about that a little bit too, but only to He didn't die for the sins of all people, only to have the Holy Spirit apply the benefits of His work merely to some. Does that make sense? He didn't just die for everybody, and then the Holy Spirit just benefits to some. This is a cohesive work between Father, Son, and the Spirit. Rather, what we see is the Holy Spirit regenerates precisely the people for whom Jesus offered His atoning death for, so that the work of the second and the third person of the Trinity harmonizes perfectly. And that's what we find ourselves here today. And we want to spend our time today mostly on this word calling, and breaking it down and understanding it, looking at Scripture, allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture and what it means to be effectually called. And this call, we call it effectuals because it's always effective. It's a cause and effect, if you will. The cause is God's foreknowledge and predestination that leads to His calling, and His effectual calling will always be effective. It always triumphs in those who were called.
Yeah, and when we get to this word today, we now have entered time. The other two, or the foreknown, happened before time. The predestined, that decision to make us look like Christ, and the two things that happens because, and we talked about that, a predestination. Now we enter into time where there is now going to be a calling. Yeah. And so we got some issues here. We got some tough stuff to look at, because you got two ways you can go, right? You're either a universalist, which means everybody's going to be saved, or there's a difference in calling. And we're going to lay out today through Scripture where the Bible speaks of two kind of calls that are out there. And we're going to go over Scripture and talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, let's just read the Scripture here today, just so we know where we're at, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go over this and understand what we're in for today. But verse 29, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30, "And these whom He predestined, He also called, and these whom He called, He also justified, and these whom He justified, He also glorified." Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful to be able to come to You today and to be able to come before Your word. And we just ask that Your word is imparted upon our hearts. May You open our hearts. May You open our listeners' hearts to understand this word, this beautiful this scripture that we have laid before us. May we do it justice. May we do it right. That's our prayer, is that we speak boldly, but we speak truthfully, and we stand upon the word. So thankful for the opportunity to be able to read Your word. So thankful for these men, these godly men that sit before me, that help me to learn and to hold me accountable and to teach me. Pray that our teaching goes out into the airwaves and reaches hearts and people are able to take something from this and to live their lives according to Scripture. We thank you for the Spirit, and may He help us today in understanding this word. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
So what we see here, we look at verse 30. There's a couple things that he's talking about here in this word called, right? Verse 30 is, and these whom he predestined, so we know who he's talking about. He, God, the one that he predestined, those who he's predetermined to be conformed into the image of his Son, those whom he predestined, he has also, he's called these people. And so we have to kind of, theologians, guys, do a, and what we have to do is as well, is we have to be very distinctive. We have to make very careful distinctions when it comes to words in the Bible. And right here is one of them. Right here we have to make a careful distinction. And there's two callings in the Bible that we're going to look at today that Phil's already talked about. And if we become confused, then what we're going to do is we're going to lose our ball in the weeds, per se. So we have to be very careful in what we're seeing here, and that we have an external call. If you're writing notes today, what you'll do is just two headings. You'll have the external call, and then you'll have the internal call. And so we have to understand that's what we need to break down here. We need to talk about this a little bit. This external call here, Mike. What is this external call that we see in Scripture?
Well, let me say this first. Based on the verse that we're on today, the called here ends in glorification. So there's somebody's doing the work, which is God, and there's an object of who the verb is addressing, which is people, the foreknown, the predestined, and now the called. Called here, those whom he called will be justified, also glorified. So to lay it out up front, those whom he called will finish with glorification.
Yeah.
This isn't the whole world. If so, then we're universalists, there's no hell, and everybody's going to be saved. Well, we know that's not true because the Bible doesn't say that, and it speaks of hell, and a lot of people are there. So first of all, the fact of the called here, this is what we call an effectual call, maybe.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we're going to talk about an external call.
Yep. Yeah, so that's the internal call that he's talking about, the effectual calling. And so the general call then is going to be for all of humanity. Mm-hmm. It's not just the elect that we have discussed. And one of the famous passages that is utilized for that particularly general or external call is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And see, when we look at that particular verse, it portrays God's general revelation to everyone in the world. So this isn't specifically talking about the elect and answering your question.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to was what we see in the Bible in several scriptures and throughout the passages is there's this general call, this external call that goes out to the world. Here's who gives this general call. It's the preachers. It's evangelists. It's you and I. We do this daily in our evangelism. We do this when we do our radio program, right? At the end of the, what do we do? At the end of the, at our end of our radio program, we'll give a gospel call.
Yeah.
To salvation and something that's critical. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from what? The word of God. Yeah,
God's calls by means of preaching his word, evangelizing, utilizing that gospel to share the word. I mean, in scriptures we see that God continually is calling sinners to salvation. I mean, that is just a message all across the scriptures. Israel was called and by their ceremonies of the law to confess their sins. The prophets urge people to go and seek the Lord and to find life. And we know that God has no pleasure in death, but we turn to him and live. The apostles went out. What were they preaching? Repentance, and remission of sin. So that's the general call, right, to everybody, because that's the message, right? We're all, humanity is sinful, humanity is fallen. Come to the Lord while he may be found.
Absolutely. That's right. What we see. We see that in John the Baptist's his ministry. We see that in Christ's ministry, right? Christ was constantly given this external call Did everybody come to know the Lord through that? No, they did not. Nope. He would have, if Christ was standing here today and if we put him on the pedestal and we looked at baptisms and numbers and all that stuff, Christ would be, we would label him as an utter failure today. But he was giving this external call is what he was. Hey, Israel, like you said, they were to go. What were they to do? They were to go proclaim the gospel to the nations. They weren't to hoard it. What did they do? They failed upon that. Jonah, what was his main goal? His was to go to Nineveh to what? Proclaim the gospel. And he was so broken. Why? Because he knew that there was some there that were going to get saved, and he didn't want that to happen. He hated them. And so what we see here is this external call. This is why we send missionaries, by the way.
Well, and another example of that, I mean, we see in the Bible just the different responses to God's calling. You look back at the Pharisees. The Pharisees, what did they do? They persisted in their unbelief because of their blindness. They were hardened to the heart, right? Yeah. But they heard the same call that everyone else heard, but yet they rejected God's calling while others were sitting here following the Lord. And so that's part of that general calling, or the external calling, as you put it. But I wanted to ask you guys a question, because I know we've got quite a few verses, and we want to make sure with this particular topic, and Blake's done a lot of research on these things, and we got lots of verses, so if you're writing these things down, please do, on the external call. But let's look at this one I was going to ask you guys. So Matthew 22:14. I think in this particular one, we see kind of the difference between the external and the internal call in this one verse here. So let's break it down. So it says, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." So what does this mean?
Yeah, so let's understand the context here. That's a good, great scripture, and that's where I would have gone as well. But so that's the end of a parable of the king who gave a great banquet, right, and invited people to come to this banquet, and you have to put the king's robe on in order to enter the banquet. That's what we're at. And then in verse 14 is where he said exactly what you said. Mine says, "For many are called." You're said invited. I don't know if that's NIV, but many are called, but few are chosen. So then this is at the end of this parable. And so what we see here, Mike and Phil, is that calling and chosen are not in the same group as it is in Romans 8:29-30, because this calling is synonymous with the general invitation for sinners to come to Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what we see here in this one. Jesus, he was an evangelist, and he was always given this general call when he was going from city to city, calling men to repent. And so this is what we see here is for many are called and few are chosen. Phil, we talked a little bit about this verse as well from when we came in here. I know you had something to add to that.
Well, it's a parable, and I don't think we have time to read it.
I'd love to read it
because it's a great parable. But if you're familiar with it, it's in a series of three parables. And we're dealing, if you go to Matthew chapter 22 and look at this, it's addressing Israel and the Jews at first. And of course they appear to, you know, hey, they were invited, everything's good. And then he goes back, hey, it's ready. And then they just kept on, well, I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then finally he says, look, go to the streets, the highways and the byways, and invite everybody, the good people. And this is pertaining to Gentiles, the good people, the evil people, invite everybody.
And so that's the general call. That's the external call, correct? Yeah.
And we see, let me just read the last couple. Let me see if I can just come in. All right. So you have at this wedding banquet, you know, somebody shows up not wearing the proper clothing. It says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Hey, if you're coming to the wedding, and this is the king's son, and this is a huge, hey, this ain't no, look, this ain't anybody getting married, by the way. This is Donald Trump's son. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
That's not what my version says.
This ain't just your average way. This is the king's son, right?
That's right.
And so the guy shows up knowing what to wear, but he wore what he wanted to wear, you know? And so he says here, it says, And he said to him, "Friend, how camest thou?" Am I in King James again? Let me just let me keep going King James, and I'll get the ESV. And he saith, y'all get
y'all,
that?
You want me to just read it in the ESV? Yeah.
Phil's a staunch defender of the KJV.
He does. Every time he texts us, it's KJV.
And he saith unto him, "Friend, how cometh?" I'm go read it. I can't even read the King James.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to go speak English here, Phil. And verse 12, and he said, "Friend, how do you come in here without wedding clothes?" Mm. You just stop it when you want to, Phil. And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot. Throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." In verse 14, "For many are called, yet few are chosen."
Yep. So the guy that came not wearing the proper attire, he's thrown out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what does the road represent? The road represent is Christ's righteousness. And I was reading Isaiah 61:10. How do you get this road, by the way? Well, let's read. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." This is a work of Christ.
Yeah, he didn't go to the corner store and just pick
one. No, this is
someone actively doing yeah, it on you.
Yeah,
there.
And so
that's a good connection.
Now here's the deal. This guy here who was called ended up in hell. Mm-hmm. So there's your differences there. Right. There's a difference between Romans and this. There is a call that goes out, an invitation to come and celebrate the King's Son. And there's conditions. You got to wear the right clothing. You got to be wrapped in the righteousness of Christ.
Right. Yeah.
But everybody's invited to come. But there are conditions.
And it says, it gives us a little hint there, but few are chosen. And,
yeah.
And that's what we're going to get to is this effectual call here, that choosing of God, the election of God. And that's what we've already talked a little bit about. But yet, Jesus, he constantly preached this external call. Matthew 11:28, we know this one very well. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Look here. He was speaking to a whole group of unbelievers there. He was giving this external call. That's what Jesus was doing. He was throwing open the gates of paradise, and the most learned people in Scripture, yet they didn't come.
Yeah.
And so we have to that's what we're understanding. John 7. Verse 37 is another one. Jesus, he stood up and he cried, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And this is, again, this is Christ's general call to anyone and everyone who hears. It's a sincere call. That's what we do as evangelists. When we're out on the street, it's sincere. I am pleading for salvation. I am pleading that they repent, that their eyes are opened, right? It's a sincere call for salvation. Salvation is free for you. That's you and I, listeners. We're as Christians, we are the mouthpieces for this external call. It's a command that we share the gospel, by the way. And this is what it's telling us to do. We know, Mike, we're to give the external call. As preacher, your job every Sunday is to give the external call from the pulpit, right? That's
right.
What you're to do. It's you know, hey, as parents, that's what we're to do. It starts with our children. It starts with our family members. It starts with our parents. We're given that external call. Come to Christ. Our coworkers, come to Christ. People we meet, come to Christ. And so that's the external call. And contained in this external call is the gospel truth. It's the wrath of God wrapped up with the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. And that's what we see here in this external call.
So I'm going to ask another question. By the way, those that are listening, they love when I ask these questions.
He never gives us a heads up what he's going to ask.
Let me get ready.
The table here.
Can we get a second to think after you ask, just to get our thoughts?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Do I need to pause the recording for you?
No.
All right, so here's the question. And I think this has to do a lot. We're reading, going back to Romans 8, verses 29 through 31, through 30, and just kind of the order of how things work. I think this is a really important question for us to kind of hash out. Which comes first, faith or the new birth? Which comes first?
Well, there's a lot of debate over that, so you ask that.
Well, I ask that because here's the thing. Much of the Christendom, if you will, those that are Christians out there, would say that faith comes first.
Yeah.
And because we have faith, God sees that, and then he graciously puts, or because we put our faith in him, that he gives us this new birth. Does that seem a little out of order?
Yeah, I would say the new birth comes first.
Okay, that's good.
That's how I would answer that. I would say you have to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, a new birth, before you can ever obtain the faith to believe in Christ. Because up to that point, faith is a gift as well, by the way. And it's really, I need to stop saying by the way, but I don't know why I say that. So I understand I say that a lot, but I'll stop that. But that's given to us, but it's all a consecutive order. It's all real quickly. I think, you know, we see the justification, the new birth, the repentance, the faith, all right there together. And it's kind of hard to see all that, but that's the inner workings. I think you see this working of the Holy Spirit upon someone's life prior to them even maybe saving faith there. It's this new birth, this regeneration happening before, you know, that's even right. Salvation happens, but it's going to happen. Does that answer your question?
I think, and I would agree with you, and because I do think that the new birth comes before the faith, and just kind of break it down. There are those that would say that God calls men externally, as we've been talking about here, and then that when some men repent and they believe, then it's when God gives new life. And look, it's true. We've talked about the external call. God does call all men, but it's not true that God gives them new life based on their repentance and faith, because we know, based on the scriptures, that while God calls all men externally, he only is calling internally his own chosen.
That's correct? Right. That's right.
And those who are truly responding to the external call are those that have been internally called by God and given new birth. Does that make sense?
Nope, it does. It does. That's a good question. I mean, that's important to understand. And that kind of goes to that ordo salutis, if you will, the order of salvation. But I do believe that new birth, but yet it's you're being born again is a spiritual thing. It's not something you do, by the way. It's something
you're
the
right.
Spirit is.
How do you know God? By spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How are you born? By spiritually dead.
Yeah.
So God does not do this. He makes you alive enough for you to make a decision. You make the decision, you reject, now you're back to spiritual deadness. Yeah, that's not how it works.
Let me give us some scripture reference. You just talked about being spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, and whence you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And I love this part when he says, but God, mm-hmm. being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Yeah. That's great. This doctrine, and we're about to dive into the internal call, I would imagine, here in just a moment, the doctrine of the internal call, it cannot be, like, if we're reading scripture and we're taking the Bible seriously, it leaves no room for man to play a part in his own salvation.
As bad as we want to.
And I know that people are going to disagree with me. I'm sure we're going to have those that are listening that are going to disagree with me on that. But why do some people respond to the gospel? It is because God has called them. Why do others not respond? I'm going to say it boldly right now. It's because God did not call them.
Okay.
No, you're right.
Why?
That's a good question. No.
We don't know.
That's true, and you have to be fine with that. At some point, you got to come to the conclusion that you're not going to get it. Gotcha. Apart from the Holy Spirit and a work of God, no man can be saved. And we can't reconcile what God does, what he doesn't do, and what he does. We can't reconcile that, and we're going to have to be fine with that, and we just got to simply believe what the Scripture says.
That's right.
You know, so
well, and that's so that leads us right into the internal call here, and we have the external call. We have to give it to everybody. It goes to nationwide, it goes to worldwide. We give it to anybody we come to. Come to Christ, preach Christ. But yet then we also have, but now here's where we get the distinction. Here's where we are in Romans today. And it's this internal call. And like Mike said, or like Phil said, with man, this is possible. But with God, all things are impossible. With man, it's impossible. Yeah. With God, yes. It's all things are possible, right? And so this is where we see that external call. The external can only go to the ear. The internal has to go to the heart. And it's only God who can take it from the ear to the heart.
That's right.
And so this is the call of God that penetrates into the depths of the human heart. It apprehends the heart. It arrests the soul. And it draws the sinner from the sins that they were in into the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see in this internal call. And so what we're going to do today here, we're going to walk through a bunch of scriptures, because I think we're going to talk about it, yet we're going to walk through the scriptures, because we don't want you to take Mike or Phil or Blake's word for this, but we need to see the examples of this internal call in scripture. And I would say, let me just start off with this. Just kind of want to, I was reading this book the other day, and I thought it was a great analogy, or just a great picture of it. But one of the most plain callings of a disciple is in Matthew, is actually Matthew, also called Levi the tax collector. If you read Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, we see Matthew being the tax collector here. But what we see here is he was the evilest of evil, if you will, at that time. And Christ, he would walk by Matthew. Matthew most likely was sitting there at Capernaum watching Christ go by, preaching the gospel, hearing it constantly, daily, seeing Christ do the miracles is what Matthew was doing. But yet, Matthew never came to Christ at that time. Matthew, he opposed Christ. And Matthew was the evilest of them all. And it was daily Christ would walk by him. Daily God in the flesh would be upon him, but yet Matthew never came to him. Constantly the external call came to him. And then if you go to Matthew chapter 9, or you'll see it where Christ, he calls Matthew and he says, "Arise, Matthew, get up." And what does Matthew do? He gets up and he comes and follows Christ. That's what we see Matthew. That's what we see, the picture of the irresistible grace, if you will, this internal call, that when he had all the, everything was given, everything was shown to Matthew at the time, yet he never came. But when Christ came to him and he said, "Get up and come follow me," he followed him. And that's what he does. That's the picture of what happens to us. We can go our whole lives and constantly shake our fist at Christ. Constantly, "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I can sit in the pew all day long, never come to Christ." But yet when the Holy Spirit is sent and he draws us to him, you're not going to do anything about it. You say, "But I can resist that. I have this free will." Trust me. You mean to tell me you're going to say, "No, I'm going to do this right here"? That's not what happens. Yeah. When he calls you, you're going to come to him and you're going to follow him. That's the irresistible grace there. This is this calling, this internal calling we have here. So I was hoping to read that in verse 9, I believe. I just want to read it real quick. "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he got up and followed him." Wow, that's it. And so Jesus calls Matthew and he follows him. John 6:44 is another critical passage, guys, that we have to see. Jesus, he says to the lost people, to unconverted people, that this is who he's talking to. Let me just turn to it real quick. If I don't have that scripture pulled up.
So there's a calling, and within the calling there's a drawing. Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
John 6:44 says.
Yeah, that's it.
Here's what, look, "No one can come to me." All right, so now there's may, there's permission, and then there's ability. Here's the deal. No one is able, right? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, okay? So there's a draw, and the person, right, that he draws, you got to finish the verse, "and I will raise him up on the last day." So what is this saying? Everyone that the Father calls internally, everyone that the Father draws, that person is raised up. And there's not a calling and not raised up or drawing. This guy is drawn and this guy is raised up.
Yeah, and I just wanted to clarify, as you were going along that point, that no one can come to me. Well, why can't they come? and we kind of just read it in Ephesians chapter 2, it's because of man's depravity, his total depravity. And you're throwing out all these big words, Blake. I love it. Irresistible grace, making me smile and jittery over here. But but the state of total depravity makes the effectual calling of God. It makes it necessary.
Yeah.
That's why, because no man can come to the Father unless. Okay.
Well, okay. So let's think about this for a second, because I think some people would say, you can't teach that.
Just, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been told that.
I've been told it too. Here's the thing. You can't teach that to Christians. I've heard that said. You can't tell your people this. They won't go share the gospel. Jesus Christ in John 6:44 was sharing the gospel with 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Most of, if not all, were lost, by the way. And I just said, by the way.
You said you
I did it.
For those that are listening, tally these up and send them to.
I've got to stop that. But he was. It was a crowd of about 20,000 people, 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women. We had children running around.
That's right.
Jesus says in verse 35 of the same chapter, he said to them, "I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me, he will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." The external call. It's a sermon of law. It's a sermon to lost people to come to him by faith.
Man, that's good.
We have to teach this. What. We're teaching the Bible here. What? How can this be bad? Jesus was teaching it to everybody that he said that you cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me.
Can I read this?
Please.
John 17:9. This is Jesus. This is the Lord's Prayer. I am praying for them, right? The context is disciples, but in the prayer, he includes all believers. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So it's really neat if you think about it, and that's what I'll say to some folks. How do you get to the Father? How can you get to the Father? How do you get to the Father, by the way?
Through the Son.
Through the Son. Huh. You get to God the Father through the Son. Well, how do you get to the Son? I just read it. God the Father says right here, look, I'm not praying, Jesus said, I'm not praying for them, but for those who the Father, those who you have given me.
Yeah.
So they were yours and you have given them to me.
Yeah,
that's right.
And guess what happens? We're called, we're drawn. That's how it works.
That's a man. I love that verse.
I don't know how you tiptoe around it. I mean, he specifically said, "I am not praying for
the world."
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't without doing some kind of backflip off that verse and bumping your head. But verse 44, just real quick, just let me get back to that just for a second. It's kind of strange sounding, if you will. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws me, and I will raise him up on the last day. The difference in no one can come, that's where I want to get to. Mm-hmm. The difference in can and may, there's a difference there.
Yeah.
May is a word of permission. Can is a word of ability.
That's right.
Everyone may come.
Right.
Sure.
But Jesus doesn't say that.
Don't have the ability.
It says no one can come. The ability there, and to come to Christ is to believe in Christ, and no one can come to him because of the, like Mike's already said, the total depravity of mankind. The sinful heart is hostile to God and uninterested in this offer of salvation. Look here, Matthew modeled that perfectly, if you will, as he greedily went on extorting people as Christ walked by him. In the very presence of Christ, he completely disregarded God until Christ came to him and said, follow me. Their hearts, our hearts, were once ensnared by the devil. That's what's happened. No one has the more ability to come to him. In spiritual matters, no one has freedom of the will to come into faith into Christ. Why? Because we're chained to your sins. You're chained to the devil. You can't come because there's been no divine intervention in your life. And that's the call of God. That's so powerful that when he calls the individual to faith in Christ, it overcomes the resistance that's in the heart, of the one who's called, and it literally, he draws them to Christ. And here's the important thing, just a word here. It says, no one can come to me unless, so there's something that's got to happen. The Father, God, the Father who sends me, draws him. And word draws literally means, if you look at the Greek, it literally means to drag. That's very important when you see that. Circle that word and write out behind it. What I've got is, I've just got right out drag there. The only way someone's going to be saved by God is dragging that sinner who is weighed down by his inability to respond, and the anchor of the heart is that chain to sin, and to drag him out of that muck and the mire and from the master of the devil, from those things to him. He literally drags us.
From the kingdom of darkness, drug into the kingdom of light. That's what it is. It's
a beautiful picture.
And you were saying that word. Yeah, good word study, by the way. I'm reading John 21:8. Mm-hmm. This is the same word. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Here we have a picture or a reality of them dragging fish, you know, to them. Acts 16:19 says, But when her owner saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. Same word, okay? Acts 17:6. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the authorities. So this word here, look, this drawing, this is something God does, and in the scripture here, it attributes it to dragging. But let me say this. A lot of people think you're kicking and screaming. This is a work of God, of what he does. This isn't this, oh, I don't want to go to heaven. Quit trying to make me have eternal life. No. Look, I want to go to hell. No. You have been regenerated. You have been drawn, right, by God himself, because the Holy Spirit has done a work in your heart, you know, made you alive. You were this way. Now you're this way. You know, you're changed. You're a new creation. He gives you the gift of faith, the gift of repentance.
Yeah, that's good.
Man, you can't work your way in this situation. He gets all the glory. And a lot of people don't like that.
They don't.
It drives them batty.
Faith is not the result of man's work. It's not. It's the gift of God. That faith is worked by God's Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit into the sinner's heart as a gift of grace. You know, we look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. I heard a guy say this, and I've heard this more than once by many people, but God does 99% of the work, and you do 1%. Yeah. Now, here's the deal.
No, I hate that
now, phrase. Let's think about this, y'all. I want you, look here, think about this. God does, so what this guy is saying is God does 99%, but you have to do the 1%. Okay, here's the deal. Ready? What's the one?
No.
What's the 1%? We know it can't be faith, because you just read it. Faith is not a work. So what is this 1%? What could this thing be? If it can't be faith, what can it be?
It's 1% of man seeking his own glory,
which is a false religion.
Well, I'm just telling you how I view
it. Which is true. Hey, I'm trying to think of the phrase. Salvation, there's only two ways. It's by divine accomplishment, or
it's 100% God, or it's 100% man.
Yeah. Either so way. So if it's 99% God and 1% man, and faith is not a work, but faith is required to receive grace, but this ain't something that's considered a work. What is the 1%?
Yeah. Well, and the reason I say 100% God or 100% man is because God's not sharing his glory with anyone. And so you're not going to take 1% even from him in the work of salvation.
If you do, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to the wedding wearing your own clothes.
And you ain't getting in.
And you're going to hell.
Yeah, you can be invited.
In. He don't play that.
Yeah. So... Sorry. No, this is fine. So we're talking about this drag. God drags us literally, and it's not kicking and screaming.
It's not.
But just do that word study on that. Another two more verses. I won't read them, but Acts 8:3. Acts 8:3 and then Acts 21:30. Look at that same thing, same word that we see here, drawing, dragged. John 10:3-4. I want to look at this here, the discourse of the good shepherd.
Yeah.
The very, very, very important chapter in John, by the way. This sermon is preached to unbelievers. The Pharisee. All right, unbelievers.
John 10.
Okay. All right. It's preached to unbelievers.
Okay.
The Pharisees at the end of chapter 9, you see that. And so he's preaching to the religious leaders in Israel who are blind and unconverted, okay? And Jesus says to them in John 10:3-4, he says this, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls," underline that word, "his own sheep by his name, by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." When I read that for the first time, it doesn't get any clearer than that. This is the call of God. This is the internal call of God presented here by the voice of the shepherd. And note this. He doesn't call every sheep on the planet. Against what most people would say is he calls everybody. He does not call everybody. There's an external call there, but we're talking internal. And so he says,
the next verse is good too, but keep going.
I'll let you read that. Let me finish my notes out here. No, he calls those who are sheep, and he calls them by name.
That's good.
By name. Just like us, when we're saved, he called us by name. He calls us individually by name. Get up, Blake. Follow me. You don't hear the audible voice of God. That's not what we do. Hey, Matthew did, but we don't. But this is much louder, though. Yeah. As he arrests your heart and he drags your heart, it's like a magnet drawing a piece of steel. You were drawn or you were dragged by Christ, and man, you glorified him every second of the way. And so that's what we see. And let's just keep moving because we're running out of time. But Romans chapter 1, verse 6, we've seen this early on in our scripture here. Among whom, this is Paul, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. There's the personal, there's the there. So there's a personal pronoun there, or
Definite article.
This is how it is with anyone exercising saving faith today. If you're in Christ, guess what? You're called the called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's you. The called refers to those who were foreknown, who were predestined to believe Jesus Christ. And the reason they believe is because they were called by God. And the calling, it secures the results. Eternal security here. Repeated again in verse 7, "To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ."
God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I think it's in Corinthians. I might be wrong. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Yeah.
"For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." That's me. "Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were noble birth. But God," oh, this is good. "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring in nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Isn't that unbelievable? If we had done this, we would have probably done it differently. But God didn't.
And if you go through those scriptures right there, Phil, that's 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:9, and then verses 24 through, I think, 29. But if you look at that, "For consider your calling, God has chosen, God has chosen, God has chosen." And he says there in verse 24, "But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." So here's the thing. If the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, how are those who are perishing ever going to believe? We've just answered it.
Yep.
By God's calling.
Yep.
That's how we do it. Romans 9:24. I love this one. This talks about the sovereign election of God. Before the twins were born, the potter, he has the right over the clay. That's where we're at. Verse 24, he says this, "Even us, whom he also called, That's speaking of the Christians there at Rome. And it goes with us as well. Not from among the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. It's a call that makes the sovereign election of God real in the life of the individual person, Mike. God calls them, and when he calls them, they come. It's a powerful and it's irresistible. That's why we call it irresistible grace. That's that's why it coins that term. It's you're not going to turn it down because it's this irresistible grace that God has done and in the life of believers.
That's right.
Galatians 1:15. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. What's the opposite of freedom, by the way?
Slavery.
Okay, ain't that awesome? Ephesians 4:4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And so, in the epistles, you will see every time the word called is used, it's always salvation. Always, you can take that to the bank. Check it out. Every time in the epistles that called is used, it's always salvation.
It is. And I was going to give an example just from a salvation standpoint. You know, you look at Acts 16 verses 14. This is a perfect example when we see, when we see what Luke says of Lydia. Look at here. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. And what does it say? The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Paul sharing the gospel. Paul is evangelistic in nature, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says that in this particular case, so Paul's out. He's doing what we've been calling the external call to salvation. And then yet we see this specific case in Acts 16:14 with Lydia, the internal call by God because the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul.
Yeah.
And what happened to her? What happened, Blake?
Saved.
Got saved.
That's awesome.
That is. Amen.
You know, another thing that's awesome.
Let's close up shop.
Hang on. just a little bit. We got 7 minutes. Hang on. Yeah. No, that's, you know what? Do you know what church, the word church is in the Greek?
Ecclesia.
Phil whispered it. Ecclesia. Ecclesia. Let's break that down.
Ek
means out of. Ecclesia means it's from the root word kaleo, meaning to be called.
The called
out ones.
Yeah.
So the church is literally the living, breathing body of people chosen by God for salvation. Church isn't a building.
It's not.
The church isn't this grand experience that you go to on Sunday morning. The church is the living, breathing body of the chosen people set out by God in his foreknowledge, in his predestination, and he has called us out of this world. And that's what we see. That's what Paul is writing to. And he writes to he says that in 1 Corinthians 1:1, to the church, to the called out ones of God. Look, this is good here. So 1 Corinthians 1:9, we've talked about this just a little earlier, but I want to read this. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why this is important. Some people try to tell you that this is a call to service, to try and get around the theological teaching. Verse 9 in and of itself alone shows that you're called into a saving personal relationship with Jesus Christ when God calls. So God is faithful, which really means he's faithful to his eternal choice and his eternal purposes, and he's going to bring it to fulfillment within time. If God, get this, if God has sovereignly predestined certain people to salvation, then it is necessary that those people actually be saved through the faith in Christ.
Yeah.
It is absolutely necessary. If God says, I have predetermined, I have foreknowledge of those that I've chosen, it is absolutely necessary that he is going to finish that work. And that's what he does by the word calling. The salvation of the elect, and we're going to get into the elect in a couple of weeks talking about that, it doesn't depend on their own willingness, but it's accomplished as a sovereign act of God, like we've already talked about, in conformity to the sovereign plan of God. Luke This is great. Mark this down. Acts 13:48. Luke states this matter-of-factly in describing the salvation of those who heard Paul preaching. He writes, "As many as were appointed to eternal life."
Repeat that.
"Believed. As many as that were appointed."
Or ordained.
"Or ordained to eternal life."
What did they do?
They believed.
What came first?
They were appointed.
Okay, good.
Boom.
1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness, who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." John 1:5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Who's got more power?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Amen.
And what's amazing was we were in that darkness one time.
And praise the Lord.
We were in that darkness and He called us out, and now we are in the light.
Yeah.
He did. And one day, an external call came upon our ears. God's internal call came upon our heart. We responded to Him because what He had done in our hearts. I'll stay in 1 Peter, Phil. I'll trump you 1:2:21. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow His steps." Not only, Mike, are we called into a personal relationship with Christ, but not only are we called into sanctification, but here Peter says we're called to suffer. Mm. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We are called to suffer because we are now identified with a crucified Savior who's been hated by the world, and we will have the same hatred for our faith as they hated Christ.
Well, I'm going to one-up you,
okay,
Blake, as we close this thing out.
No, I got one in the deck, too.
No, matter of fact, hold on. We got about 2-3 minutes left, and I wanted to bring us back full circle to where we started at Romans 8:30, because, you know, it says, "And those whom He predestined, He also called. Those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified." So considering that particular text that we're ending on, it says that those who are called by God are justified and glorified. So let me ask you guys this question just real quick. Mm-hmm. If this referred to an external call, we've been trying to distinguish between the external and the internal call. If this was referring to an external call, the gospel, what would that mean? Well, I'll tell you, since it's going to take y'all too long.
I was looking at my deck of cards. I am so sorry.
So what that would mean, if this was an external call, that whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He justified, then that means that all are going to be justified and glorified. In fact, we know, according to Scripture, that's just not true.
Yeah, that's universalism.
That goes back to, Phil's point of universalism. So it cannot be that this particular Romans 8:30 is speaking of and external. It's about the internal.
All right, we got 30 seconds. 30 seconds. What do we need to do? What do they need to do?
Repent and believe.
Well, the external call has gone out. Here's the external call in 10 seconds. You're a sinner from birth. You're destined for hell because of your sins. God's wrath is upon you. If you are unconverted, you will go to hell and you will face the just wrath of God. He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, righteously lived. He lived the life you and I couldn't live, died upon the cross, taking upon the sins of any of those who would believe upon Him, nailed to the cross, died. God's wrath was satisfied. He was risen 3 days later to seal that. And He reigns today. He says, repent and believe in Me, trust in Me, and you will have eternal life.
Yeah.
You will live eternally with God in heaven. And you'll be saved from your sins. And that's the external call. The internal call is that's a working of God.
Yeah, work of the Holy Spirit.
For the believer today, praise God that He dragged you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's the application for today as believers. Unbelievers, repent and believe. For the believers, praise God that He's done this work in His life. All glory be to Him. Nothing we did, but all glory be to Him. Mike, close us out in a word of prayer.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for our time together. We thank You for those listeners. Lord, we just pray that You would grant us repentance, Father. Open up our hearts to receiving this truth. Lord, we know that that only comes by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love You. We thank You for Your word. Thank You for that we may stand upon it, the authority, Father, the truth. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Join us next week on Life Song Radio.
Try to hear a new word from God. And I think it's very odd. will I attempt to help myself? My Bible sits upon the shelf with every promise I could ever need. And the Word was, and the Word is, and the Word will be. Tailored suit, does it fit across the shoulders? Will it fade when it gets older? We throw ideas that aren't in style in the Salvation Army pile and search for something more to meet our needs.